good morning, Mountain View. Anybody glad to be in God's house today after that time of worship? Amen. And not just epic. Man, Amen. Our God is so, so good to us. Very special welcome to those of you who are joining us online as well as we conclude our series. As you see today, love, relationship, and the church. If you've been with us for the last 3 weeks, I'm kind of out of breath because singing so much. It was just so amazing. 3 weeks ago, we started this series and we looked at the Shema in the Old Testament, where we were told with Israel to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, where God gave us four capacities, four tanks that he would fill, that he would help us to love him and also to love others. Amen. On Valentine's Day, we talked about the love in a marriage relationship. That's not a, it's not a contract that's based on performance. It's a covenant based on permanence. Therefore, no matter if we mess up or not, we know we can always come back to the Father in forgiveness and confession, knowing he's going to be there. And the same can be true in our relationships in this world. Last week, we talked about David and Jonathan, and we talked about the relationship. If you remember that, I want to get into the verbs and all that, but there was a relationship guy to guy that was deep, it was intimate, and it was pure. Had somebody after the first service say, Mark, after that, I went home, I realized I have blessed relationships all these years, and she wrote every one of them to let him know how important they were to her. And I realized how important it is. So today, God brought me to the scripture, and this was well over a month ago. It was actually a long time ago. He brought me to the scripture of love your enemies. God, how does that fit in to this nice, neat series we put together? And if you want to follow along for just a minute, it'll be on the screen as well. In Luke chapter 6, 27 and 36, this is what Jesus said. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Amen. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. A little over a month ago, I'm driving down, I'm always driving thinking, and it hits me. And I think of Chris, he first comes to mind. And then I think of Tina, because I've heard him share his story many times. He's anointed of God, the word, the Spirit of God is moving in him. And then last year, I got to hear the other half, and how blessed I was. And I thought to myself, gosh, I started thinking about their story and realized, all 3 weeks I've preached on, wrap into one, as I think about their story. And I boldly picked up the phone or text and said, would you guys consider coming together and sharing the story? And they started into prayer. They didn't say yes first, they started into prayer. And they came back with a yes. I knew if the Lord said yes, they were here for a reason. Here's why. Because I thought to myself, when Jesus Christ said, love your enemy, what happens if you think you're the enemy? What happens if by your thoughts, by your actions, you're into self-harm or self-denial, and you're harming yourself, or by your actions, you're harming other people? Maybe you're in a marriage relationship where you think you're married to the enemy. Mm-hmm, no nudging. But sometimes you may think that. And so there was a story that I wanted you to hear. Actually, it's a testimony. It's not a story. It's a testimony of what God does. And I'm glad you chose to come today. I'm glad you chose to check in online as well, and those who are watching in orange. So I'm going to start with Chris. Chris, you know, you guys, very powerful story. Started when you were really young. Start from there, just briefly, and share kind of how you got to a place as a young man where you were looking at a long prison sentence.
All right. There's always a lot to cram into a small time frame. But thank you for having us again, and thank everybody for being here. It's a blessing to share fellowship and worship the Lord with you all today. I was raised up in Pennsylvania, and I was come out of a broken home. My mother and father split up. I was about 8 years old. I have two brothers. And it was pretty bad. My dad was he was a drinker, pretty heavy drinker, blue collar worker, and he was abusive both verbally and physically. And so that was kind of, unfortunately, my example of what a man looked like. And just for the sake of saying it, I encourage everybody, the example and witness of what you're providing for your children is extremely important, and it absolutely sets the stage for their future. So by about 12 years old, I was already starting to smoke cigarettes and drink. By 13, I was smoking weed and becoming sexually active. By 15, 16, I was doing acid and PCP. By 18, I was messing with cocaine and getting pretty bad. In 1996, I caught an assault and battery charge. In 98, I caught a possession of cocaine charge. In 99, I caught a federal crack charge that got me 87 months in federal prison. And about the time I started that sentence, I was married in February. Actually, this past 14th, we've been 21 years, thank God. And amen. And we had a six-month-old child, which she might be out here somewhere. The lights won't let me see her. But and I left them alone to fend for themselves.
So 7 years. And not a whole real good understanding of what it means to love yourself or love God.
None.
You remind them how old you were with a young child and where you were with God, and all of a sudden your world's turned upside down.
So I was 17 when we got married, 17 when my daughter was born, 18 when he started his sentence, and she was 6 months old when the sentence started. So up until that point, life was chaotic, of course. I was very overwhelmed, very broken. Both of us were so lost. So in the moment, I couldn't see the good in him going, but I'm so grateful that he did to this day, because it was time. I'm so grateful that he went then and not later, and that God stepped in at that point and set him down for a little while and got both of our attention. It's the thing that he used to get our attention, and I'm grateful for that. I often remembered wrestling with, did he love the drugs and the alcohol and the friends and all that more than me and our, at that time, little girl. I know that it's not the truth. He just didn't know what love was, and neither did I. We knew the emotional and physical connections. You know, we just didn't really understand the depths of love and what that really meant. So hurting each other, you know, whatever was okay. And the life that he lived then, you know, was reckless, to say the least. But when the bus started, I was scared because I didn't know how I was going to take care of this little girl, how I was going to provide for her. Was our marriage really going to be able to withstand the time? I knew when I married him knowing he was going to go in. I just didn't know for how long. And I had a determination in my heart that I did not want my marriage to ever end. I didn't want our kids growing up in broken homes like both of us came from. My mom was a pill addict, and my father was an alcoholic, so they both gave me to my grandparents when I was young, so they raised me, instilled a little bit of the Lord in my life. So I had a foundation there. I was just very far away from the Lord at that point in time. And although I was relieved when he went in, as I knew where he was at, I knew he was safe, I knew I didn't have to worry about if he was going to come home, if he was alive, what was going on. I was still scared because I just didn't know what the end of that would look like and were we really going to be able to make it through. So
I have two people that really have a concept of the love of God, of heart, mind, soul, strength, being filled, performance, permanence, not there. But yet, it's still there. God was still there. Absolutely. To meet you right where you were at.
Amen.
So first of all, I wanted you to testify. And there's so many incredible pieces, but if for time, we can't do it all. But yeah, I wish you could come out sometime and just invite them to dinner. Pay for it. It'll be worth it. I'm just telling you it'll be worth it. To take the opportunity and say, where were you and how God met you from moment one walking in Alexandria?
So I was very broken, obviously, and very lost and very young and very reckless in my understanding and perception of what life was all about. And so I was very selfish. And so I didn't know how to love her. I didn't know how to even love my daughter, and as precious as that little girl was, I didn't have the capacity because I just didn't know what that meant. And so there she is. And so so the cool thing about God is God knew everything about me, like he does about everybody in this room and everybody watching live stream. He knows everything.
That's right.
But he still wants to do for you. He still wants to call you in. He still wants that relationship. And so immediately I went into federal holding in Alexandria, And there was a guy in my cell. There's three of us in the cell, and there's a guy in there talking about Jesus, of all places. And then I want to go through process, and it's about 72 hours. You got it locked down, and then they send you to your room. I went up to the 10th floor education pod, and this guy was up there talking to me about Jesus. And then so I was like, I come to a point and was like, okay, God, you know, I guess it's your turn, because, I mean, my best effort got me federal sentence, you know, in a broken household and broken inside and destroyed. And so I went from Alexandria. I stayed there for about 2 months, and then I went to a place called Warsaw. It was just a transition facility. And God put me in a place called J-Pod. And there were inmates, there's 50 bunks, and there's inmates in the middle. They gather in the middle every day and have fellowship. They called it Jesus Pod. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, and then God sends me from Warsaw, and he sends me to Cumberland, Maryland. And in Cumberland, there's a medium high security facility. Three of the first guys that I really got to meet, I saw a lot of people, but three of the first guys I really got to meet were the English pastor, the Spanish pastor, English praise and worship leader. They're working out. They're inmates as well. They're working out, and they're talking about Jesus. So I want to say this. If you want it, if you want God, if you're really looking for it, God will provide the means. There was no place in my time that God did not provide the means for me to hear and be received and welcomed by his love, even in the midst of a hardened environment as federal prison. I went from facility to facility, and every facility I was met by people that had the love of God in them and wanted to encourage me and wanted to mentor me and develop me in my faith. And that's exactly what happened. And I let them take hold of me. It was a choice, and I let them take hold of me. And my wife, and we struggled a lot, and it was very challenging, 15-minute phone calls trying to, you know, reconcile and trying to help. And my wife is living on her own, and like I said earlier, you guys, your tax dollars are paying for me. I was okay. I had three hots and a cot, as they say. They'll keep the lights on for you if you need a place to stay. But my wife struggled. She moved seven times. It's funny, but it ain't. It's funny, but she moved seven times in 6 years and went from vehicle to vehicle and we were struggling.
Yeah. So on that note, I thought about that. So provision, God's making himself known. Mm-hmm. So we always think about that. Okay, yeah, God's going to meet him in prison. You hear stories like he may come back to that. But what about the one outside? 18, no credit, little child, your husband's gone for 7 years. And you're facing a lot of obstacles. Not the ones that's met, but you got voices of people speaking. So what was it like, that young woman, little child, who are your advocates, who's speaking into your life and what's happening there?
Yeah. So first of all, what God was doing in his life for the first couple months, he was ministering to me because it was reminding me of where my relationship was not with the Lord. Because like I said, I had that foundation, but I had walked so far away from God and really didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. And as Chris was calling me and we were doing visits and I was hearing what God was doing in his life, it was ministering to me. So then I ended up giving my life back to Christ and committing my ways to him. And I had a church, and unfortunately, some of the negativity came more from the church members than, I'm not saying it's every church, I'm not saying every person does it, but unfortunately it did come more from them that, why are you going to stay with him? He's just going to come out and do the same thing. Everybody gets saved in jail. You know, those voices were there. So in the beginning, I pulled away from the church instead of pressing into the church. Later on, I ended up pressing in because I didn't hold that against them. They just didn't understand at that point. But God used my coworker. I worked for a dental office, and my coworker ended up staying home, and she came to me and said, I want to watch your daughter for free for you. And at that time, that was a huge blessing because I worked 2 and 3 jobs to try to pay for things and take away the daycare bill, and that was huge. And not only that, but they loved her. They treated her like their own. And because of that, one of our sons is actually named after the husband because it meant so much to us that they were just there for us. They were willing to sign for an apartment for me. They just put everything aside and just saw the need and showed the love of God there. I had inmates, an inmate's wife. One of my vehicles blew up when he was in Cumberland, Maryland at the visitation parking lot, and she saw it, so she called me a little bit later and said she worked for Ford and wanted to give me her employee family voucher that would basically guarantee me financing no matter where I went. And of course, I had zero credit, nothing. So I got the car, base model, Ford Focus, you know, crank windows and everything, just so I could afford it. And then the very next weekend after I got the car, I got the call from him that he was getting moved to Fort Dix, New Jersey. So a two-hour drive just turned into a four-hour drive. You know, I left at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, going through Baltimore and, all that stuff. You know, I'm up by Philly is where he was at, pretty close to that, but on the Jersey side. So it was dangerous, you know. So it was perfect that I had the vehicle that was safe for my daughter and I. After Jersey, he got moved to Manchester, Kentucky. That I was a little bit upset at the Lord over that because I'm like, I'm really trying to keep this family together. Why in the world would you move him so far away? But God was meeting me there and just teaching me something else about him and his love as well, because we flew in on a Thanksgiving, I think it was, and he calls me and says, hey, there's this inmate's mother I want you to go, and father, I want you to go to Thanksgiving dinner with. And I said, no, not happening. We're in the middle of Kentucky. Like, there's back roads like crazy that I can't even explain
strange
to you.
Strange folks out there.
No, I have family in Kentucky, so, you know.
Like I said.
But I reluctantly went, and from that day forth, they're still family to this day. That they said whenever I came, whenever I flew in, I had a free place to stay. They never wanted me paying for a place to stay. They threw a birthday party for my daughter when we flew in one time. They just became family, and God used them to show the love that God was telling me, hey, you're not invisible to me. I see your needs. I'm supplying them. They might not look what they, you know, everybody's wants, but he was supplying everything that I needed and just using those people to show his love to me.
Amen.
So that goes along for 6 years before probation or whatever hits and that mark. So then you come to the place where we talk about kind of the rubber starts meeting the road.
Yeah.
Provision has been there. God keeps showing up and you're being ministered to, you're growing, your vocabulary is changing as you talk to her on the phone, things like that. But you're getting ready, you're coming out. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about that's the hard time. You know, oh, it's easy. And, no, it's not easy inside, but now you got to stand up. And now you got all these voices. You get the voice of the enemy saying, how dare you think you're somebody new? Remember all this, you did this, blah, blah. And he tries to tear you down. And you get all those voices start coming back at you from friends. Remember last week, friends speaking to you that the doubt can rise up. So you guys get out. You get out. What is that like? Coming home. God's provision.
It was extremely challenging, I think, for both of us, for sure. My challenge was, and they say this, when you're locked up, well, you don't have all the temptation that you have when you get out and you're free. Anybody that's been locked up knows that that can be true and it cannot be true at the same time. But the reality is that for me, it was that this was going to be the truth. It is where the rubber met the road. And I was going to have to trust the Lord. I was used to always having a lot of money in my pocket. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I was relying on my wife. God told me, you know, not to be abusive to the relationship with my wife, because a lot of the reason why, or the state of our condition was because of my choices. God wanted me to humble myself. He wanted me to humble myself and acknowledge all that she has been throughout all these years. So I had to come home in this transformed state and continue to commit and submit to God and allow God to have his way in my life. And it was extremely challenging, but that was my desire. That was my heart. I wanted my family to be restored. I wanted to do well. I wanted to honor the Lord. And so at every opportunity I could, I did my best to position myself in a state of humility, press on. I had to. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In that process of time, God was renewing my mind. I had to stand on that renewal. I had to remain constant in that place of renewal. And that's where the challenge is, because thoughts come, temptation comes, trouble's going to come. But where are we going to stand? What are we going to do with that? And at the end of the day, because of what God had done in my life and through all these years, how he had shown his faithfulness through people and through provision and all these different things, I didn't want to disappoint him at the same time. Now, that's a heavy burden that nobody really wants to carry, because God's going to love you anyway. But at the same time, it is good to have a sense of reverence for God. And so that was my challenge.
Yeah, and just to add to that, that scripture in Romans that said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, was the main scripture. There it is. But yeah, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sorry, we read King James, so it's I get that lingo in there. But that scripture ministered the most to me in the beginning when I first gave my life back to the Lord, because that was reminding me that if Christ could love me in all of my sin, then I can love him. If Christ was faithful to me when I was unfaithful to him, then I can be faithful to Chris through this time. If Christ forgave me, then I can forgive him, you know. So that was like the thing that was driving me. And then when he came home, these things, you know, it's like, okay, I'm trying to throw him back to where he was before, forgetting, you know, or worrying at that point if the man that came home is going to remain the man that I still see. And when he came home, he was a completely different man than who went in. He was completely transformed. He knew how to love me. He knew how to respect me. He knew how to be a father to our daughter. He knew how to lead our home in a godly manner. This is who he was. But was that going to continue? So I'd say probably the first month or two, he was finding me at the back door, balled up, crying, scared, because fear just gripped me at that point. Well, I know that I said this, and I know that we made this through this, and I know that I'm standing on your word through this, but is he going to stay now that the walls are removed? Is this man that I see really going to stay the man that I see? God, I know that you're able, and I know I've seen a complete transformation in him. Is this going to remain when the walls are removed and the friends are now there and the temptation is there? And he just had grace with me, mercy with me, I mean, in patience, and was just showing me. He wasn't going to, you know, force it down on me. He showed me by his actions that God transformed him. And then he was restored to the man. I was okay, you know, letting my guard down. All right, you can lead our house. You can be the father freely. You can be the head over me freely, you know. Instead of me trying to take the reins, I gave them up, because he was. He was the man that I saw in prison, that God was transforming him completely.
And I want to say, it was extremely humbling to see the one that you're supposed to love the most so broken and in such a state, mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, your actions are what really formulated and brought this to this place. Mm-hmm. Like, and now being a transformed man, I mean, it's one thing when you don't have a heart and you don't care and you look and you say, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, and you just get frustrated and you just feel like everybody. But then it's another thing when you realize that's the fruit of your labor. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you did. Yeah. And God shifted me and God was dealing with me. And so it created a humility in me that just wanted to continue to pray and seek God and let her evolve, let her strengthen, and then walk in that place.
A couple things I want you to share, tenants we have left. God's provision continued, the car, the things you needed while he was in, but even when you got out, you have a record now. Enemy can use that. But you were faithful to God, and just one piece of it. There's so many pieces of this I want you to share, but
absolutely,
we practiced it to get into it. Thank you for that. Tell me about where you work now and how that came about.
So right now I work for Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative. I work for a power company up there, Gainesville, all that area. And when I first applied for the job, you know, my wife told me, well, I needed a job, a better job. I always held a job, but I wanted a better job. I wanted to supply for my family. And I was trying to maintain my faithfulness to God, persistent. I was going to church all the time. I mean, because not just because it's church, but because that's where I wanted to be. I was thankful for what God did. Well, I filled out the application for the power company. My wife told me to fill it out. And I asked her if she thought they would hire me. And she said, well, all they can do is say no. I said, well, you're right about that. So I filled out the application. And this is funny, but it's true. They give you a little box like this if you've committed any felonies. And I'm like the type of guy that says, can I write on the back of the sheet?
You know? Can I write on the back of the sheet?
Do you have extra paper? And I was just being honest with them because I didn't want to be the guy that was being deceptive. And now, you know, God's changed my heart.
Sorry.
I'm going to give it all to you, and I'm going to leave it in God's hands. And if I don't get hired, I don't get hired. And anyway, went through the process, and I went through the interview. And later on, the HR lady called me back. And this was profound. Yeah. And she said, Mr. Perry, we don't believe that anybody would write all that stuff and lie about it. Somebody might, but I didn't. And she said, but the people that we use to research the backgrounds, we can't find that information. And so, and my wife told me that that's for you, baby. That's for you to know that God is on your side. That's for you to know. And I did. I wound up getting a job, and here 14 years later, I'm still there at the co-op. And now I got my journeyman card. I'm a journeyman lineman, and I can do line work anywhere in the country. God's taking care of. He's provided for my family.
That's a praise, right? That's what God does. The time that, as we close this out, as I did in the first service, maybe it's a different word, maybe it's the same. If there was one word that you could speak, there's a lot of teenagers sitting here. Mm. A lot of 17-year-olds sitting here. Or maybe somebody else. What word does God have for you right now that you just feel like, I need to share this as we close out before I ask Chris to pray?
I think it's the same, because God's had it on my heart from the beginning of preparing for this, is that the love of God is enough. It's enough to see you through any circumstance that you're in. It's enough to teach you to love somebody else that you can't see how to love at the moment. It's enough to break every chain, every addiction. It's enough. If you don't know anything about that love, I encourage you to ask questions. I encourage you to, you have a great pastor, you have a great leadership team here. Come ask questions. We'll pray with you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't know what that love is, if you do know him and you just haven't fully grasped the understanding. For me, I knew him, and then it was a revelation with that scripture that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that really gripped me to help me understand if Christ loved me this much, I can surely love somebody else in that same. I didn't deserve Christ to die for me. He loved me enough for him to die for me and sacrifice for me. And so that's what I would say. It's God's love is enough. It's enough to see you through.
Thank you.
I have a scripture. And he can bring it up. But before I read that scripture, I want to say that for a lot of you young folk, I know that there's a lot of things fighting for your attention. And in today, day and age, unfortunately, we have a very short attention span as a result of it. We're flooded with information. We're overloaded with social media and videos. And so we get this distorted perception about life through all of these things. I mean, you watch movies and then you think that stuff's real. And it's not real. I grew up watching like videos all the time, music videos, MTV and BET, and I liked hip hop and all these things. And these things, they distorted my perception of life, and I pursued that perception of life. But there's one who wants to connect with you to give you the true perception of life, because he established and ordained life. Yeah. God created all things, and for his good pleasure they are and were created. Can you bring that scripture up in 1 John, please? It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how God showed his love. It's not an imagination. It's not a wonder. It's a reality.
Yeah.
It's the truth. God sent his son for you, and he's the one that deserves your attention.
Yeah.
And he'll show you how to live life, and he'll help you be successful in your relationships, and how to humble yourself, and how to walk with somebody in love. The same thing you guys have been preaching or hearing or been ministering to for the last month.
Yes,
God is love.
Yes.
He's the one that teaches us that.
Yes,
I appreciate these guys. Can you help me thank them? I would say, if there's one thing Death My Heart has asked them to pray, the greatest appreciation that you could show this couple today is to respond to what they said.
Yeah.
This is one response. We feel that's enough, and we walk away.
Yeah.
But from what you heard, ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with that?
Yeah.
I am deeply convicted. There are people in this room, and there are people online right now that are here specifically because God ordained it that you would be in this place to hear this exact message at this exact date. In 2021.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of it. So I'm going to ask Chris to pray us out. I remember we were in here practicing on Thursday. And after you finished praying, someone in the back said, I want to pray like that. And I thought, yeah, because I know this is a man who believes what he's praying.
Amen. That's where it comes from.
So I'm just encouraging you, as he prays, you don't have to wait to respond after the prayer. You got the vertical thing going on. And if you don't, right there, you can humble yourself and God's right there for you. You can respond in that moment. the God who loves you. Chris, will you lead us out of here in prayer?
Absolutely. Father God, we're truly grateful, Father. I know I and my wife are extremely grateful for what you have done in our lives. God, you truly are a God who can take something that's burnt up and broken, Father God, and you can make something beautiful out of it. Father, it may be in your time, Father God, but God, you are faithful. You desire to pursue, to chase after us, God. And despite all of my actions, God, here you wanted to meet me inside of a federal prison. Father God, you didn't want it to go to that place, but God, you'll take any place as long as we'll welcome it. And God, I thank you today, because I know that everybody in this room is in a different place, but God, no matter where they are, you're willing to meet them there. You're willing to meet them in their trouble. You're not only a God of the hills, but you're a God of the valley. And Father God, it's most important. And it seems to be a lot of our time that when things are the hardest, that's when we finally call out unto you. God, I find that prison was the best thing that ever happened to me, because that's where I met you. And I pray for everybody in this room, Father God, that may not know you, Father God, that they may come to know you, Father, and the forgiveness of their sins, that they may come to know your word says it's your goodness that leads us to repentance. God, may they just see, Father God, for the moment, the trip that you took, Jesus, to the cross, and the sufferings that you took upon yourself for our freedom. What a song. Hallelujah to the God who set me free. Hallelujah. Death no longer has any grip on me. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, and praise you for what you're doing in our lives and the lives of every person in this room. I know, Father God, that if they make themselves available, God, you'll come through. So, Father God, may you minister to them in their place of need. Maybe they're like my wife and they're struggling and they're trying to endure. God, I pray that you help them and give them that, just like you have endured with us. As we have received Christ, God, help us walk in him. We give you honor. We give you praise. May you bless these that are here present, those that are hearing streaming, Father God. Bless them and cause your face to shine upon them and prosper them in their relationship with you first, and then in all the other things that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Mountview family, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to stay up here because, just like the first service, I believe there are people who want to unload something. Or want somebody to pray with them. You may, I don't want Mark to know. It's okay if they know, because they don't go to church here. That's fine. I'll walk away. Just don't go walk that way if the Lord's telling you to walk this way, okay? And those of you online, those who are hosting right now will be there for you as well. God bless you, Mountain View Chair family. Thanks for coming out today.
Amen.
See you soon.
Amen.
Amen.